If you're following along, turn again to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read one verse this morning. This verse is the verse that got me to thinking about this chapter. I had originally planned us to preach on this one verse, but then that didn't happen. I figured I'll at least go through the whole chapter. We've done that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Listen to what it says. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Amen. Now, I have something for you this morning, but I pray that God has something for you this morning. This, as I said, is the verse that got me to thinking about this whole chapter. In this verse, Paul narrows his focus down to two clear areas.
Yes, sir.
Number one, for as by one man's disobedience, many, and here's the phrase, were made sinners. Amen. He's narrowing the focus down now.
Yes, sir.
He's spoken of judgment and condemnation, justification of life. But now he says, many were made sinners. How? By one man's disobedience. Here's the other side of that focus, that other area. So, and never forget this, that little so. So, by the obedience of one, shall many, and then here's the phrase, be made righteous.
Amen.
My title is this, Made Sinners, Made Righteous.
Amen.
An unassailable fact is here. Neither of the maids, that's made sinners,
yeah,
or made righteous, neither of the maids depend on anything the represented do.
That's it.
You hear what I said?
Yeah.
Either one of the maids, neither one.
That's true.
Neither of the maids depends on anything the represented do.
That's true.
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners.
That's right.
So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
Both maids depend solely on what the representatives did.
Amen.
And I said did.
Yes, sir.
There is a difference in the maids. Many were made righteous by one man's disobedience. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. But it's both maids depend solely on what the representatives did. Christ is not up in heaven obeying now that we might be made righteous. He obeyed in his condescension when he was on this earth.
Amen.
Not to say he is disobedient now. And I don't think anyone should misunderstand that. But again, listen. An unassailable fact. If you don't see this fact, you'll not get anything else I preach today. Anybody who hears this tape, if you don't get this. Neither of the maids depends on anything the representative do. The represented do. Both maids depend solely on what the two representatives do. Did.
Amen.
That's the truth taught here. It's the truth taught in the whole last part from 12 all the way down through verse 21.
Yes, sir.
But here he narrows, as I said, the focus down. I want to try to draw three truths from this morning. There are more than this, but I want to concentrate on the most vital things because they are directly related to the words that are said. Here's number one. Seeing that this is true, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Here's the first thing. How heinous then is disobedience? How heinous then is disobedience? In other words, sin. That's what we're talking about. We're all disobedience, not a mistake.
Exactly.
Not an accident. Yeah. We're talking about this is sin. This is to offend. In other words, defiance toward God. Exactly. That's what Adam did in that one act of disobedience. Yes, that's sir. What his one sin. It wasn't a whole bunch of sins, Mason. It was one sin. By one man, many were made sinners. You know what? Eve's act was an act of deception.
Yeah, that's right.
Adam's act was an act of defiance.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Adam knew full well what was going on.
Yeah.
That's what we mean when I say, how heinous is disobedience? Do you see God's holiness here? One singular offense. One. And this was real.
Yeah.
As I stated last Sunday in our gleanings, this one man's one act of sin, one act of offense, one act of disobedience, one act of defiance was a real one act.
Yes, sir.
From a real man. One singular offense, according to Paul, plunged the human race into death. Verse 12.
Yeah,
one act.
Yeah.
Not a whole bunch that kept adding up and getting worse. One act. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed, past tense, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Amen.
Just like when Abraham, wasn't it Abraham that paid tithes to Melchizedek? Levi paid tithes in him.
Exactly.
Because he's in his loins. We were in Adam's loins when he did that one act of disobedience. Therefore, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That was an act of God.
That's right.
That was an act of God. That was God carrying out the judgment to condemnation that he had told Adam about.
Yeah.
The prohibition was all the trees are there. You can eat whatever you want. Basically, you can eat it freely, he said.
Yeah.
At your desire. But there's one. You don't eat of that fruit.
That's
right. That was the prohibition. Then he warned him what was going to happen when he did eat it.
Yes,
for in the day that thou eatest thereof, not in the day if you eat, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Amen.
That's how holy God is. That's how heinous sin is. One act, Paul says, plunged the whole human race into death. One act of disobedience placed us all under judgment to condemnation. Verse 16. One act of disobedience. That one act, it made us sinners. You see it?
Yeah.
For as by one man's disobedience, it doesn't say many became sinful. Mm-mm. Many were made sinners. Truly, as the scripture says, fools make a mock of sin.
Yeah.
Anytime you and I, even as believers, we in any way try to lessen the heinous nature of sin is to make a mock of God Almighty and His holiness.
Right.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were what? Made sinners. That's how much God hates sin.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, I don't like that. I don't care. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Paul is not trying to philosophize this thing. He's simply telling us how it is.
Amen.
Here's the second thing. See the effect of Adam's one disobedience.
Sir.
See it? Made sinners.
Amen.
Again, not made sinful.
That's right.
Listen to me. We sin because we were made sinners, not vice versa.
Right.
We do not become sinners by sinning. Now someone says that's just words. It's exactly what it is. It's God's word.
Yes, sir.
We're not made sinners because we sin. We sin because one man's act of disobedience made us sinners.
Amen.
And
amen.
Sin is what sinners do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Our rebellion, our corruption,
yeah,
our depravity, our unrighteousness, our degradation, our self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Even our human religion flows from what we are,
yeah,
not vice versa.
Exactly.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We conduct ourselves like we conduct ourselves because when Adam sinned, we were made sinners. So much so that one prophet, let's put it this way, that was even so much so that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Anything I do in Adam flows from what Adam did in that garden in that one act of disobedience.
Yes, sir.
And no matter how it looks to us,
yeah,
or to others, it is filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
To where one of the New Testament writers put it this way, I think he was quoting Christ, that which is highly esteemed among men is what?
Yeah.
An abomination in God's sight. That ain't a mistake. A mistake ain't an abomination ain't a mistake.
That's right.
It's an abomination.
Yeah.
What's that? Sir. Do you see how heinous disobedience is?
Yeah.
Do you see the effect of Adam's one act of disobedience? Do you see the holiness of God? There, you might see those other two things. If you don't see the holiness of God, you've kind of missed it all. Because you can look at everybody else and find somebody that looks to be overtly a little worse than you are, and you might feel pretty good about yourself. But look at it. No, look at God.
Amen.
And this is what God did. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Amen.
Now that's the two things. It's two of the three. Here's my summary to those two. We did nothing. We did nothing to be made sinners.
That's right.
Did we?
You're right.
That innocent, put that in quotes, that innocent little child back there, David, much as you love him, he's a sinner. He's a sinner.
That's it.
From not the cradle to the grave, as some say, but from Adam to your death, you was made a sinner. I didn't even say from your conception. I said from Adam,
yeah,
unto your death, in him made sinners.
Amen.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So.
Yeah.
That one word, so.
Yes,
it means, it indicates that there is similarity here.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't say but. There's not a but here. It's so.
Yeah.
So, what did you do to be made a sinner?
Yeah.
Anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's right.
It didn't have to do with you. It had to do with Adam.
Exactly.
You see it?
Yeah.
You and I were made sinners before we ever even existed. And even when we began to exist with material being in our mother's womb, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me.
Yeah.
And as Earl used to say, he wasn't talking about his mother's and father's act of copulation. He's talking about this fall right here that happened in Adam. That's what,
yeah,
he's talking about. Made sinners. We did nothing to be made sinners, but oh, here's the glory.
Yeah.
So. So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Now, I'm going to give you, here's my 5 points. Here's the 5 things that I've been thinking about for ever so long. God help me this morning. And God help us all this morning to be given once anew and afresh ears to hear. Because I'm not going to ask you to think outside the box. I'm here to tell you right up front, I'm afraid too many of us have been thinking outside the box for too long rather than looking at what God said in the box. When we think of being made righteous, what's one of the first things that pops into your head? Now, maybe not all of us, but I know for years, when I talk about righteousness before God, what did I always think about? Imputed righteousness by faith. Don't you? But it's far more than that.
Yes, sir.
By the obedience of one.
Amen.
This is one man's one act of obedience. And that obedience was the death of the cross. That's the main thing right there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Shall many be what? Made righteous. Amen. The only difference in the two is one is aorist, that's the past tense, mm-hmm. made sinners. The next one is future, but they're both passive, is shall be what? Made righteous.
Exactly.
In both, you're absolutely passive. Why? Because the first made depended on the first man.
Right.
The second made depends solely and only on the second man.
Amen.
This is not imputed righteousness. Almost every commentary you read, even sound commentaries, start going back to chapter 4 now. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. Chapter 4 puts it this way. Look at it. Talk about Abraham. Be not weak in faith, verse 19. And consider not his own body now dead when he was in about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's the definition of faith right there. Right? But look, and therefore, what? Because of what Abraham did in believing. Do you see it? That's right. Now, granted, I know believing comes from God. But yet, as Earl used to say, God don't believe for you.
Exactly. That's right.
He enables you to believe.
Amen.
But he don't believe for you.
Yeah. That's right.
We actually believe. Men and women actually believe.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You see it? Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What? If. We believe.
Amen. Yeah.
That's not what he's talking about in chapter 5, verse 19.
No,
you
right.
See what I'm saying? Do you get just a little insight? Yeah, has God shown you anything yet in these past couple minutes?
That's good. Yeah.
It's not the same thing. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. That's neither one of these two. That's what God causes us to see by faith. Concerning who Christ is. He is made unto us wisdom. I see him as that now. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Yes, sir.
But this says, so by the obedience of one shall many be what? Made righteous. Just like we were made sinners through Adam's one act of disobedience, many shall be made righteous through his one act of obedience.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
To be made righteous. Listen to me. This is what you will not hear or read, I should say, in too many commentaries. Sadly, you may not hear it in many messages. I don't know. I can't vouch for that. I've only heard what I've heard. And that's just a very, very small, limited portion of all the countless millions of messages God sent men to preach. So don't say, Walter, judging everybody else. You'd be wrong. Listen to me. To be made righteous must precede the imputed righteousness of faith.
There you go. Yes, sir.
Huh? Can I prove that from Scripture?
Yeah.
Yeah. What does Jeremiah say in Jeremiah? You don't have to turn to it, but Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you and I don't even really get the depth of that. He says, who can know it? We know it to a degree, but we don't know it like it really is. We don't know it like it. We don't really see the heinous nature of it like God does. We see something of it, thank God for that. The heart is deceitful, right? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now I read these verses. Here's what I read. These are the words of our Lord. He was talking about a sower going forth to sow, and that sower is sowing nothing but good seed.
Yes, sir.
And he says this, and other, talk about seed, and other fell on good ground.
Amen.
What? Well, yeah, hold on. And sprang up, that's the seed, other seed, some of it fell on three different kinds of ground. Then he gets to this one, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, pay attention, especially to this last one.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You don't even need me to explain it for you.
Yeah.
He gives the explanation.
Exactly.
Look. Verse 15 of Luke 8, I didn't tell you where I was at, did I? But anyway, verse 15, but that on good ground are they which in an, what? In an honest and good heart.
Right.
What?
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah,
where'd that come from?
Exactly.
Since the heart is what?
Desperate.
Deceitful. Desperately wicked above all things. And who can even know it? Now, if Christ called it a good and honest heart, bless God, what is it?
Yeah,
it's a good and honest heart.
Amen.
What's a good and honest heart? It's a righteous one.
Amen.
Ain't it a righteous one?
Yeah.
Honesty is righteousness. Goodness is righteousness.
Yes, sir.
They're the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you hear it?
There you go.
Now, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Exactly.
The seed? No, it didn't come from the seed. The seed has to meet good ground.
That's right. Yeah.
The good ground comes from, so as by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
And when he makes it good ground it is. And that ain't even talking about election. Even your election didn't make you good. Didn't make me good.
No.
We were born in Adam just like everybody else. I said, to be made righteous must precede the imputed righteousness of faith.
Amen.
This book teaches it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
That's the truth. You see, when I first seen this, I thought, God, I got to preach this to them. And then God said, no, just hold on. Lay the foundation first. Huh? Boy, folks, this is rejoices my soul.
Amen.
Because Proverbs 20 and verse 9, Solomon said, who can say I've made my own heart clean?
That's right.
You can't.
No.
Now, some people have a good and honest heart.
Amen.
Right? Christ said some would.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? The only answer this book teaches comes from God.
Amen.
It comes from God. It comes from the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Hmm. There's hope for one who's been made a sinner.
Yes, sir.
I didn't have anything to do with that. And let me tell you, you ain't got nothing to do with the second one.
Exactly
nothing
right.
whatsoever to do with the second one. But let me tell you, when God gives you a good and honest heart, it is for the reason of the good seed finding a place to lodge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He don't just give you a good and honest heart. You just die or die, you wake up. Well, you die and you go to heaven one day. No, you're given a good and honest heart. So when the good seed is sown, and it will be sown, that the two meet together, and it brings forth what? Fruit unto God.
Amen.
And that's why Paul says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law shows us how bad it really is.
Yes, sir.
Not only what Adam did, but look at what the effects of it.
Yeah.
Look at what we are.
Yes, sir.
But look, but where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more. Therefore you find imputed righteousness. You find imparted righteousness. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But before any of them, you got to be what? Made. Made righteous.
Amen.
Number three. The believer has this righteous principle within himself or herself. not by an act of them. Look, now listen to it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their" what? "Their heart." The heart's the main problem. That's the main thing. The heart's got to be fixed first. How's that done? It's made righteous by the obedience of one.
Amen.
"Look, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ.
Amen.
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and look, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in" what? "Righteousness and true holiness." I said that the believer then has this righteous principle within them.
See
it? And it's not to talk about putting on, as it's talk about clothing. Put on. Put off the old man. Put on the new. But it's not talking about reaching up on a nail and getting it from up here. It's talking about from here.
Yeah.
The old man's where? In here.
That's right.
Put that off. The new man's where? In here. Put that on.
There you go.
You see it? But here's the point I'm getting at. What is this new man? We don't know a whole lot about it other than what the book says. It is what? Which is after God created in righteousness and what? True holiness. Not even just a pronounced holiness. It's a real thing created by God that's righteous and holy. It's a creation of God himself.
Yes.
There's to be made righteous. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now not only, turn to 1 John now. Not only that, this righteous principle is real. It's not theoretic.
That's right.
It's real. It's not just okay. We say it's kind of in there, but it's kind of, or maybe ethereal. You can't really lay your hands on it. It kind of slips through your fingers. You can't really ever describe it. No, sir. But be careful now. Be careful. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I said this righteous principle is real, not theoretic. Look at verse 7 of 1 John 3. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Now, folks, let us not try to ease it, because we know we're so bad as sinners even yet. And let us not try to ease on this. See, that's what we try to let it slip through our fingers, don't we? Yeah, it's there. It's true. But it's more theoretic. It's more ethereal. It's not something you can lay your hands on. Be careful. Don't let nobody deceive you.
Yeah.
Now look. "He that committeth sin," that's talking about being in a constant way of life. That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
"He that committeth sin is of the devil.
Yeah.
For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God." Now we see, it's going back to that principle of God.
Yes,
remember,
sir.
Birth must precede even belief, reception. They believed on his name. They received him. Even as many as believed on his name, which were born. That's this righteous principle. This new man, the scripture calls. We call it the new nature. It never really calls it that. It calls it the new man. You know why? Because it's not just, it's real, I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not theoretic. It's not something separate from us. It becomes a part of us. Or better,
exactly.
We become a part of it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We become a part of it. Because we're whosoever, not a thing. You see, the new nature is not born of God just put in me there, Joe. I'm born of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
"Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Is that not what it says?
Amen.
Yeah. "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. For he, because," there's that word, Joe, probably the same one, I haven't checked it, but "because he's" what? "Born of God." Now, but look, "in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God." And then he gives us something to really lay hold, in other words, so it don't slip through your fingers. You know what I'm saying? So you don't think of it as just theoretical. So you don't think of it as something just ethereal. Look. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that ye should what? Love one another. Now how's the way, only way you can do that? In the new man. By the grace of God. Having been made righteous in Christ Jesus. You have to have a good and honest heart to be able to love one another. Don't we?
Yes, sir.
You're not love worthy and I'm not love worthy.
Exactly.
Are we? Because we still have both. Yeah, we're born of God. And in that nature, or better, that man, we cannot sin. But in the other one, that's all we do. That's all we do. But in the other one, we don't do it at all. We don't sin at all. Somebody says, I don't get that. It's because you never experienced it.
Yeah. You're right.
Now, be careful. Don't try to meld the two. Our problem is sometimes we don't know which one's which.
Yeah.
We lay credit to one when it's really the other. We lay credit to the other when it's really the one over here.
Yeah.
There's our problem.
Yeah.
But it's still real and tangible. We love one another. We really love one another. We'll put up with one another when we won't put up with anybody else.
Right. Amen.
You're right.
Yeah. Why? Because this righteous principle is in both of us. And there's a fellowship and a union there.
Yeah.
Now listen, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that you love one another. Then it gives us shows us how it's not. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slay him? And wherefore did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See it?
Amen.
See it? Huh?
That's what it says.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you.
Amen.
Huh? We love one another, but the world's going to hate us.
Yeah.
And now you go on. More. We know we passed from death into what? Life. Because why? We love the brethren. Mason, that's righteousness. That's real. That's tangible. Now somebody says, I don't love like I ought to. You do in the new man. The problem is you often give credit to the old man of what you should be doing in the new man. In the old man, you ain't never going to love like you ought to.
That's right.
At best, you may be able to work up a little natural affection. But this ain't natural affection from the new man. It's the love that comes from, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It is God that worketh in us, what? Both to will and to do. What? Of His good pleasure. When we love one another by the new man, through the Spirit, it's perfect.
Yes, sir.
Even though you may see the old man right there with it, coming up with all this garbage. See the difference? Here's what I'm saying. Not everything we do is tainted by sin, but everything we do is accompanied by sin. I want to change that. Not everything we do is tainted by sin, because when God's working in me both to will and to do His good pleasure, there's no sin in it.
That's right.
But everything we do is accompanied by sin.
Yeah.
But that's why we're told that old man, put him off.
Yeah.
Right? Put him off.
Yeah.
Be in constant warfare against him. Be constantly taking your arms out of the sleeves and letting it drop as best you can. Let you drop as best you can. So remember, this is not imputed righteousness. To be made righteous must precede the imputed righteousness of faith. The believer has this righteous principle within, and this righteous principle is real. It's not merely theoretic. But remember Ephesians 4 and verse 22, as I've tried to constantly remind you. But you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, and the first thing to do is what? Put off the old man. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Why? Because that's the closest thing to us. We were made sinners before we were ever made righteous. And we're more accustomed to the made sinners than we are made righteous. We're prone to even try to, as I said, to give credit to the old man when it's really God Almighty working by the Spirit through the vehicle of the new man. So again, I say this righteous principle is real, not theoretic. Now, one more thing. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Listen to this. Here's the fifth thing. This righteousness is within our immaterial being. You're not going to see it in your physical flesh. What you love, you're not going to see it with just, you know, physical things. And let me show you why. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'll try to move through to the main point. Look, 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in what? Damnable heresy. Heresy ain't just a little mistake. Damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And here's a sad thing. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. People don't talk about sin like that anymore, do they? But by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Listen, you can talk about things all day long when it comes to the things of this world and the things of Adam and being compassionate and forgiving and understanding. But you mention the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and next thing you know, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
My wife just experienced that today. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, they're not in charge. This is God's business. Okay? They have their end, and God's working, Mason, all of it, right to their end. Now look, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Let me stop for a moment and my mind thinks, well, if God just do that today, you know what? We'd revert. It wouldn't be but just a matter of a very short period of time. We'd revert right back to our ungodly ways again. If God just wiped out the whole U.S. today, you know what? It wouldn't be long, the whole world. For a while, they stand in amazement. Whoa, what happened here? Whoa! But within a few days, I figure, you know what? We'd resort right back. Why? Because that's what we've always done. The flood? Those fires? Right? But look, and delivered just Lot. That don't mean only Lot. That means justified Lot. Now look, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And I love the way the Spirit of God moved, because he puts that out in your mind, out to your mind first. My first thought is, well, that means he was dabbling around with them. No, huh? No, look, for that, what's that next word? For that righteous man. Dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. Huh? What? Made righteous. Do you see it?
Amen.
I got a righteous soul if I'm a just man.
Amen.
And let me tell you, if you are, the filthy conversation of the wicked all around you, it'll vex your righteous soul. If it don't, then you ain't a just and righteous man. You ain't got a righteous soul.
There you go.
For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But then look at it. Then he's actually content. That was in parentheses. Just so you don't get the wrong idea about and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot had his problems. We all do.
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. But he defines this for us. But then look, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But there's a chief group I'm talking about here, and he goes on there. You see it? There's specifically a group of men I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Oh, do you see it?
Yeah.
Look at it. For as by one man's disobedience many were what? Were made sinners. That's all one word. Yeah. Were made sinners.
Yeah.
So, oh, what a That's right there, Mason. That little S-O is grace abundant. No.
Exactly.
So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
What's my conclusion? Made sin, we did nothing to cause this. Made righteous, we can do nothing to gain that.
Amen.
That has to happen by sovereign act of God. And it will for everyone he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
My conclusion is this. If Christ represents, he will, in his good pleasure, make righteous.
Amen.
Won't he?
Yes, sir.
Whereas by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall what? Many shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
Here's my last thing. Is that my testimony?
Amen.
I'm asking you to ask yourself, I'm asking God, oh God, show me, oh God, show you, is that my testimony?
Exactly. That's it.
Is this the way God's made me? Have I been made righteous? Or am I only made sinner? You see? You see, Father, comfort us, Lord, with your truth. Not my words, Lord, but your truth. Encourage us, warn us, guide us, lead us, and direct us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
That's
good.
Thank you, Joe.